This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
This is Betting Weekly Extra Time Europa League Edition. It has not been easy for bettors in the continent's secondary competition. Simple systems across the money line, overs and unders, both teams to score yes and no, have failed to put gamblers in the black. Our team of handicappers, though, are in profit for the season today. Let's hope for a few more winning picks across match day six. You're with Dan Roebuck and returning RJ, Steve Wiss and Will White. A lot to get through. We've got seven plays, five leans, plenty to discuss. And if you've been level staking the show over the course of the group stages, your return on investment is 5%. We're going to start Thursday, 3 p.m. All the games Thursday, obviously. 3 p.m. kickoff in Group B because we've got some good plays across the two matches here. Brighton, Marseille, we're going to tackle first of all. Brighton are favourites at minus 167, Marseille plus 410, the draw plus 335. Will Brighton need a win to make the last 16 and avoid the playoff round? How are we tackling Brighton, Marseille at the Amex?
I really like Brighton to win this game. Topping the group is going to be key in Europa League this season. It gives teams a direct path through to the round of 16 without having to go through a playoff tie. And so I think both teams will be massively up for this match. Despite Brighton's patchy form, my model has them strong favourites for this game based off the underlying data, and I really fancy them to get the job done as well. The Brighton win on its own comes in a little bit too short, around about minus 160 something. But if you add on over 2.5 goals, you can get that price up to even money, which I think is a really great bet. Going back to match day two in this group, the two teams faced off in Marseille. Brighton were pretty dominant that day, winning the XG battle 2.62 to 1.31, despite only getting a draw in the end. Marseille are just... Steve probably knows more about Marseille than I do, but over the weekend, they were involved in an incredible 4-2 win away to a very poor Lorient team. And it was just an incredibly open match. And I think this openness, as also demonstrated when these two faced off in match day two, I think that's what will expose Marseille here. You know, Brighton are miles better than Lorient, and I can't see Marseille really getting away with that, with that same openness here. And I think they've only got one way to play. And so, you know, that leads me on to the over 2.5 goals part of this bet, which is, to me, extremely obvious. Brighton are an incredible 16 out of 16. Both teams to score yes in the Premier League this season, which is just an outrageous statistic, really. And then at the same time, Marseille have seen 23 goals in their five Europa League games so far this season. So, all things considered, it's very difficult to see this game finishing with fewer than three goals. And at the same time, I think Brighton will get the win they need here to top the group.
Yeah, the line is over and under 3.5 goals. The Asian line is 3. And RJ, you are playing over in this game.
Yeah, I'm back in my comfort zone, Dan, with over 3 here. Brighton, you know, managed a 1-1 draw against Burnley over the weekend. And then prior to that, they took on Brentford 1-2-1. They've had pretty good success, as we've talked about, in this Europa League competition. And Marseille, as Will touched upon quickly, but a very open match over the weekend against Lorient 4-2. Prior to that, a 3-0 win against Lyon and Rennes 2-0. So it's tough. So the winner, right? The match is crucial for both teams, right? As the winner gets the top spot in this group, and you know Brighton's recent form in the Europa League has been strong, but Marseille overall have specifically domestically have been pretty strong. So I suspect they'll pose a significant challenge to Brighton. If I had to pick a winner here, I agree with Will. I think Brighton, I'd give the slight edge to come out of this match with the win. But I think over 3, it is a little low, minus 134. But I have a strong suspicion that we could at very least push this and return the stake So looking like goals here in Brighton.
Brighton against Marseille. We like over three on the Asian line, and we like over 2.5 and a Brighton win for Will. I mean, Will, we shouldn't overstress the fact that, you know, for coaches, just avoiding that extra game. And also, it's a Champions League team, isn't it, that they're going to face if they play in that playoff round and come second in their group. They avoid that. I mean, that's massive, isn't it, for teams?
Yeah, absolutely, especially with such congested, you know, fixture lists, especially in the Premier League over the winter. You know, we don't have the Christmas break and we've got so many games packed in. The FA Cup's going to start up beginning of January. Is it not two legs then in the knockout round?
It will be two additional matches. This is it. I mean, coaches will want to avoid it.
Yeah, it's huge. And although we don't have the prize money on offer for individual match wins as we do in the Champions League, I think it's got to be huge for a coach like De Zerbi. You know, he's really going to want to win, get this. I think this is a priority for Brighton and maybe even the competition.
Yeah, I think they could go far in it. I mean, it's interesting, those both seem to score stats in the Premier League. They just keep rolling on every single week. They probably should have won at the weekend against Burnley. Let's move to the other game in the group. It's Ajax against the AEK. And again, we're talking Europa League, so there's all sorts of avenues, Steve, that teams can still play European football next season. Ajax have been awful for pretty much all of the season. But they are favourites here, minus money favourites, just to be AEK here. This is a 3 p.m. Eastern game on the Thursday, and they can still be playing European football into 2024. What's your take on this one?
I'm going to back Ajax. It feels a bit uncomfortable, the season they've had. But I'm going to back them on the money line. Minus 104 is the price now. I think they beat AEK Athens and get into the Conference League. It's been an interesting group, hasn't it? You know, it's not been a boring group. And the match in Brighton is going to be really interesting as well. I think just going back to the point about any team winning the group, it's really worth its weight in gold just to avoid playing two extra games in the spring. And by the way, for that game, Aubameyang looks a big price at plus 200 to score any time. But back to this one in Amsterdam. Ajax they've got to be one of the hardest sides to rate this season, because I think we're going to see various different versions of them. They were horrific, obviously, in the first sector of the season under their previous manager. But John Van Schip has come in. And I suppose, you know, it's not necessarily going to be plain sailing now, but there has been, you know, stormy seas for Ajax this season. And this guy's come in.
That could be the quickest red of all time. Yeah, I haven't got a red card. That's a double yellow. That's a Martinelli against Wolves from the other season. That's two yellows in 10 seconds. Continue.
Just making sure we're listening.
He's done a lot better. He's done a lot better as John Van Schip. Since he's taken over, they've won a lot of games domestically, and you know, I thought they played all right against Marseille in the last game. You know, 4-3 defeat. They were down to 10 men for the last 30 minutes, and they gave a decent showing. Lost, as I say, just by the one goal. Steven Berghaus is suspended. He was the guy who got sent off there. AK have also got a suspension. Gacinovic was shown his marching orders against Brighton. I mean, AEK, how good are they? I don't think they're that great. I actually think Ajax outplayed them in the reverse fixture, and that was when Ajax were in poor form. It was a 1-1 draw, but I thought Ajax had the better of that game. And, you know, what would this price have been in August, Dan, if this had, say, been the Champions League qualifier?
Yeah,
in Amsterdam,
Ajax would have been an awful
-200.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
You know, and look, things have obviously changed since then, but they've changed again. I mean, they're still surely the third best side in Holland. You know, Brian Brobbey's found some form since this new manager's taken charge. 3 goals, 4 assists. He's +148 any time here, by the way, if you're interested there. I just think they're the better side. It could get a bit wild. I was tempted with over 3 goals instead. It might be the safer play, I don't know. But Ajax money line, just get the job done, get themselves in the Conference League, and you never know, they might have a decent run in that.
Betis Rangers next again, Thursday, 3. Betis -134, Rangers +340 here. Betis will know a win. We'll see them make the last 16 and again avoid those playoff rounds. Likewise for Rangers, though. I mean, every time I've seen sort of snippets of Rangers play, there's been some disappointing performance, but they're still very much in the hunt. What's the play for Betis Rangers?
I like Betis to get the job done here at -124. Did you say 134, Dan? They must have shortened.
Yeah, they have come in, yeah, since you
posted in the WhatsApp group. A little bit shorter than I would have liked.
Yeah.
I believe they were -124 yesterday. Hmm. As I guess one of the themes of kind of this show is that I try and identify good teams with high levels of motivation in the final round of the group stages. And in this instance, given that the prize, the incentive is direct passage through to the round of 16 without having to play those two matches in the knockout round, I just think it's huge. And I think this strategy should pay off. You know, it's hard to lean on statistical kind of underlying data when you've got different levels of motivation between the two teams. But in this instance, we can. And that's really my fundamental, right? And my model makes Betis much stronger favourites than the -124 to win this game. I've got them closer to -150. Perhaps the price is based on the fact that Manuel Pellegrini has been rotating in Europa League. But given the importance of this match, he may go full strength here or kind of at least go with a few of the starters. I wouldn't be surprised to see Isco start this game. I wouldn't be surprised to see Mark Rocker start and some of the kind of the bigger name Betis starters. And even if they do rotate, they've got a pretty deep squad. You know, they've been managing so far in the Europa League group stages. They've won both of their home games with a rotated team. You know, and this is a team that sits seventh in La Liga in pretty good form. They drew at home to Real Madrid over the weekend. And on the other hand, Rangers have just not really been that convincing, especially away in the Europa League. They lost 2-0 away at Aris and they drew 0-0 with Sparta Prague. Neither of those teams are really on the level of Betis. Perhaps Sparta are closer, but Aris certainly not. And this is a step up, you know, and it's hard to see them avoiding defeat away to an in-form La Liga side. They've got a few players missing as well. Danilo got injured last week or the weekend before, I believe. And so, you know, it's going to be a patched up Rangers team coming into Betis. It's a tough ask, I think. So Betis -0.5 at -124 is the bet for me.
That's in Group C. Aris Sparta Prague also in Group C. Steve, you got to play in this one for Sparta Prague, our favourites, -117. Still in with a shout of making the Europa League knockout stages. And Aris could make the Conference League as well. So there's something on it for these two. Where are we headed betting-wise?
I'm looking at the goals, Dan. Over 3 goals at -103. I think this match could explode into something sensational. I've watched, it's weird, isn't it, how you end up watching teams you don't expect to watch a lot of. And I've seen a fair bit of Aris in this campaign. And they're a decent side. I think they, well, in terms of entertaining anyway, they'll give it a good go. They're like a dog who you can't control them. They do random things. They keep yapping at you, and if you turn your back, they'll give you a nip on the ass or something like that. Do you know what I mean? They're that sort of side.
Are we talking Chihuahua or XL Bully? Where are we going here?
Probably sort of Yorkshire Terrier sort of territory, but you know, they won't lie down. I remember that match against Betis. They just kept going right until the final whistle. And look, there's, we talk about dogs here, there's a potential bone for them to clash their teeth into, because they can still qualify for that Europa Conference League. They've got to win by, I do believe, a 2-goal margin or more. So, you know, 1-0 is not enough. You know, they've got to keep going. Sparta Prague, there's a massive dangling carrot for them. I agree with Will. I think Betis will beat Rangers. I think the quality of La Liga opposition will open the door for Sparta Prague. And can they take the opportunity? There's not a guarantee they'll win this game, I don't think, because Aris are an interesting side who can punish you if you make mistakes and have to overcommit. So I think we're in for a really end-to-end sort of contest where a draw does nothing for either side. A draw is useless for either side. And when that's the case, I'm always looking at goals down, no matter what the league or the competition. And previous fixture ended 3-2 in Prague. to Sparta. And I, you know, something similar would not surprise me at all. I think this is an underrated game in terms of entertainment value for this Thursday night. Over three goals for me.
Over three goals, around about minus 103 at the moment. We like overs in quite a lot here. There's a lot of incentive for a lot of teams. Likewise, in the game between Olympiacos and Başakşehir, where the over and under line is 3.5 at plus 125 over, minus 157 under. Olympiacos are sure at minus 420 here. Olympiacos, RJ, just need to avoid defeat, but the Serbian side potentially could be playing European football in the Conference League into 2024. What's the angle in?
Yeah, sticking to the theme we've targeted so far, looking at goals here, over three, minus 127. This will be at Olympios' home ground at Georgios Karaiskakis Stadium. That has a capacity of 33,000.
You don't people. Help yourself with pronunciation sometimes, you RJ.
I just like the fact that RJ just keeps having a crack at
love it.
You know,
love
just,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta go.
Yeah, I think it was all right. My only concern is, are there going to be any fans in for this? Haven't they? They may well have been banning fans from Greek matches today, but I'm not 100%. That's something you'd have to look for anyway, well, RJ.
No, that's good. I appreciate you guys commending my efforts on these pronunciations. I do the best I can. And then, you know, the reason why I mentioned that, though, is because there's a vast contrast from when they first met, because the away side, Başakşehir, the Serbian side, their capacity at their stadium is around 4,000. Right, so we got about a 29,000 capacity difference. So I don't know. I just figured I'd note that because I find that, you know, maybe that could be a
very different surroundings, factor. Whether there's fans there or not. That's for sure. Right. What's the place? Are we looking at overs?
Oh yeah, over three minus 127. So Olympiacos in their last 15 matches, they've had some mixed form: 8 wins, 3 draws, 4 losses. They do average around 2.2 goals for at home, and concede just around 1.4 on average at home. And then back at Topalo, over the last 15 matches have been less consistent: 3 wins, 7 draws, 5 losses. And, you know, looking at this from a perspective, Olympiacos have quite a few injuries. Steven Jovetic, Nicholas Frye, Jackson Perozo, Gustavo Scarpa. I mean, some of their top talent in the midfield and defense are going to be out for this match, but obviously, the bookies, and as well as us, you know, the minus 435 on the money line. There is quite a bit to be played for here. Obviously, Olympiacos want the win to assure their Conference League playoff spot. So over three, minus 127, it looked to me like sort of a one-sided match. And I think you could see a 3-1 type final in this one.
That will do for us when it comes to over three at minus 127. A couple of Europa League leans. Will and Steve have looked at Rakov Atalanta and come up with the same bet. I'll let Will talk about it before we see if Steve has got something to add. Will?
I like Rakov here on the Drono bet line plus 100. I think sometimes you've just got to throw the stats out the window and bet with your heart and kind of bet what you see, really. Atalanta have won the group already, and I think there's a very decent chance they at least heavily rotate here, if not start a few kids. Their defense is already completely decimated with injuries. Over the weekend, they already had Kolasinac, Toloi and Palomino out, and so we had Martin de Roon deputize in defense, as he has done before. But since then, Jim Citi and Scalvini have both been suffering kind of ailing niggles, and I can't see either of those two being risked. So at the very least, they're going to have to get creative in defense. But really, why should they risk any of their starters here? It's a meaningless game. There's not the big prize money on offer for match wins like in the Champions League. On the other hand, this is Rakov's penultimate game before their winter break, and they should be far more up for it, despite only really having third place to play for, which is most people would regard that as insignificant. Perhaps they won't, but they've been quite impressive, actually, this campaign, picking up 4 points in a very tough group. The other factor here is that their home field advantage is slightly diluted. They don't play their home games in the Europa League in their home stadium, but it is going to be around freezing in Sosnovic on Thursday night. So how up for it are this Atalanta squad going to be? perhaps their kind of youth team players would have more to play for here. And just to, I think that's a more of a waiting for them to start the game, really. So given the situational factors, I think there's more chance that Rakov get the win here than Atalanta. So happy to back them on the Girona bets. And it sounds like Steve's got similar vibe as well.
Steve?
Well, do you know what? Yeah, Rakov draw no bet. I think it, even money is a good price here. It made me have a look into the Polish league. It's not a league that I bet in at all, actually. And this is when you might need to help me a bit here, Dan, with some of the pronunciation. But shockingly, Rakov are down in fourth in that league. The top two sides I've never heard of. Slask Wrocław.
Slonj and Wrocław, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Great. And Jagiellonia. I've never heard of those. I mean, this is a weird league. You have the likes of Lecce at fifth, Lech Poznan in third. So I don't know whether Polish football, maybe it's a bit stronger than you think or not. Rakov have had a better campaign than I never thought they'd go this far and have a potential chance to even make the Conference League. They had a great run in Champions League qualifying. And it's a situational one where Atalanta, don't have anything to play for. And it's an opportunity for Rakov. I actually think Sporting Lisbon will win the other game in the group against Sturm Graz, even if Sporting rest and rotate. I think an away trip to Portugal is a lot harder than a home match against Atalanta at this point in time. So I just don't trust them enough. That's why it's not an official play, Dan, but draw no bet at even money.
Always interesting, though, when two of our handicappers like the same bet. And we've got a further lean before we move on to some conference analysis, and Will, that involves Liverpool away at Union Saint-Gilloise. Liverpool already through to the last 16.
Yeah, another team we've spoken quite a bit about on this show, Union Saint-Gilloise, and I quite fancy them to get the job done here, and I'm going to go on the nose, as Steve would say, plus 200 to win the match. They are shortening, so you probably want to get on that one quite quickly, as people hypothesise about Liverpool taking a bunch of academy kids out there. I don't think they'll go necessarily that week, but they might have three or four of those academy kids starting here. So it's a similar kind of line to the Rakov pick, albeit more aggressive, because I think USG need to get the win here to stand any chance of progressing. So, they've been quite impressive, I think, so far, and especially in the Belgian league, where they sit top by, they've got a cushion there, I believe, sitting top of the Belgian league. They're also, according to my ratings, the highest rated Belgian team. And given that there's not likely to be that much in terms of quality between the starting 11s on paper and the home field advantage and motivational advantage for Union Saint-Gilloise, I think plus 200 is far too big. So a lean on that one for me.
Yeah, a little bit of a lean at plus 200. It's a good price about the Belgian side. Now, Conference Corner is coming your way. We have got an official play from RJ, and we've got some leans as well from Steve and RJ, surprisingly, because Will has been very much a member of Conference Corner since we started the show, but no lean from Will. Don't know if you could rustle one up for us, unofficial, off the books, while the boys talk about the plays. First of all, Zrinski against Villa. We're going to talk about, this is the 12:45 early kickoff in Conference Group E. Villanova point, RJ, will be good enough to top the group. I don't think the Bosnians can qualify. Talk us through your play.
That's correct. And thank you for welcoming me to Conference Corner. This is my first play in this competition. The reason why,
this is our first play full stop in the competition. We've been restricted to leans because the boss Nigel said we can actually do them. So you are very much ordering off menu here. So anyway,
yeah, I had a hard time, to be honest, finding much more in the Europa League that I liked, even from a prop perspective. So it's kind of dabbled here. They're heading to Bosnia, Bijeli Brijeg Stadium, for Zrinski's home field. Aston Villa, right? I mean, you know, they've made quite a bit of headlines lately. They've won five of the last six matches. They beat Arsenal and Manchester City in the same week. They're currently on a club record 15 match win streak in the Premier League for home matches. And as you stated, they've already secured a top spot here in the Conference League. Zrinski, on the other hand, they've had some mixed results. They've won three. They've lost three. Their most recent match was a 2-0 win against Shiroki in the Bosnian-Herzegovinian Premier League. And however, they've just struggled, right? They're sitting at the bottom, 5 goals, 9 allowed, just 3 points. Nothing really to play for except pride in front of their home fans. And, you know, it is a big deal for them. They are the first Bosnian side to reach a major UEFA club competition group stage. So, again, that's something that I think just has some weight there in front of their home fans. Aston Villa, you know, given their secure spot and involvement in the Premier League title race, they're going to rotate, right? That's probably what will happen. I still think this is, you know, a vast difference in class, right? And I still expect, even if it's second team Aston Villa members, to, you know, put on a show for the Bosnian home fans. And I just like the look of goals, even still. So I think we'll see a 2-3-0. I think a 3-0 type win for Aston Villa, which again would give us half return, half win, and over 2.75 at -107. This is a play for me.
Yeah, that was our Spanish correspondent there for Aston Villa. Come on, RJ. We like over 2.75 goals. That is an official play. We've got some leans as well. Steve and RJ. And I might press Will on one. We'll see. Steve, what do you like for your conference lean?
Well, they served me well on the last show. The Norwegian side, Bodø Glimt.
Yeah.
Thumped Lugano to qualify for the next phase. They can still
and your
win.
And your man Pellegrino was scoring again, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's actually +175 to score any time here, which is, I think, it's a massive price away against Club Bruges. It's noticeable they're only sixth in the Belgian league. Of Bruges. I still think they're quite a good side, though, from what I've seen. And they may well end up in the top three in that division this year. It looks quite a competitive race, actually, the Belgian Jupia League this season. Mm. But look, Glimt can still win this group. But to do it, they're going to have to win by 2 goals or more. So why not back their team total over 1.5 goals at +163? You know, they've got to get 2 goals, whatever. We know they've got a lot of offensive firepower in them. And, you know, this is their last competitive game for some time. Their next competitive game will be in this competition, whether it be in the playoff round or the round of 16. So, you know, they can leave everything here on the table and then enjoy their knees up for Christmas and they're back in training at sort of the end of January. So, yeah, they just lost the Norwegian Cup final as well against Molde. So I think they might have a bit of fire in their belly, a bit of frustration from that. And I think they'll come here and be quite offensive. And it just stuck out to me. I don't know if they'll win the game, but they're quite capable of scoring a couple of goals against Club Bruges, who are decent. But I will always back this Glimt offense. They say Pellegrino and Mumbanya especially can get on the score sheet.
Yeah, since I'm picking people up on pronunciations, UEFA will tell you it's Brugger. Anyway, RJ, Steve's not having, look at Steve's face, he's not having.
I'm not Brugger.
Yeah.
The
town or the city is Bruges. The team is Club Brugger. It's Flemish rather than French. Hmm. Anyway.
I don't get that.
RJ. Steve's still not having it. RJ, you've got a few more leans for us here. Pauk, HJK, first of all, what do we think?
Yeah, Pauk, the Greek side versus the Finnish side, HJK. Pauk, you know, throughout their Europa and now Conference League matches, they've been tremendous. They haven't lost. In fact, they've had 3 draws and around 8 wins. HJK, on the other hand, they've only got 1 win in 7 matches. They've been pretty poor in general. Pauk at home averaged 2.2 goals for and conceded just 3 goals, 0.6 per match. HJK on the road score an abysmal 0.67 per match and allow just over 3 goals. So I had a hard time, you know, not even mentioning this as a lean at -130. Pauk -1 at -132 is a fairly strong play, in my opinion, here in the Conference League.
And one that you said that you might omit, but I've kept it anyway, is Maccabi against Ghent. You've got overs here, RJ.
Yeah, it's a pretty big match for both teams. Genk sit up top with 13 points, Maccabi right behind them with 12. Both sides have been prolific from a scoring perspective in this competition. Maccabi, except for one match, have scored 3-plus goals in their last or on their only 5 home matches in this competition. Ghent on the road have yet to keep a clean sheet against the likes of Zorya, Apol of Cyprus, Pogan of Poland, and Zelina of the Slovakian League. So they're going to arguably face much more competition and arguably a very tough place to play. And, you know, over three at minus 103, I thought was a fairly decent price for what I expect to be a competitive match, right? Because regardless of outcome, both sides are going on, but the winner gets ahead to that round where they don't have to play two matches, right, essentially. So it's a big match and one I expect goals in.
Will, did you find anything conference-wise, anything just missed the WhatsApp message or no interest for you this time around?
It's tough because my go-to team is Klaksvík, right? And they're away at Lille, and it's very hard to find a play in that game. I generally tend to stray to Klaksvík when they're at home and in the tough place to go kind of narrative. But, yeah, Steve, do you have an opinion on that game, given Lille are involved?
Under three goals, I think Klaksvík will come here and they'll actually fight really hard. It really matters to them in this competition. And Lille are just, quite pedestrian this season, really. They don't really, although they need the win, don't they, to win the group. So Lille should get it, maybe 2-0, 3-0. Can I just mention one team before we finish about Conference League? I don't think we've ever talked about them on this show. FC Nordsjælland from Denmark have actually won. They beat Ludogorets 7-1 and they beat Fenerbahce 6-1, but they still might not qualify.
It's incredible.
For the next phase. I think they've got to get a draw away against Ludo. I actually looked at the overs in this game. But how awful would that be if they won 6-1, 7-1 but didn't qualify?
I presume that they started pretty poorly in their section.
Well, they dropped a point. They dropped points at home to a team called Spartak Trnava, who I think to Fenerbahce could absolutely spank them silly this round. And that could cost them a place in the next round.
Incredible. A lot of goals, but potentially no progression. Right, let's get some best bets before we wrap up our Europa League and Conference League plays for the group stages. Will, what's your best play across the ones that you've put up?
I think it's going to have to be Brighton to get the win against Marseille and over 2.5 goals as the same game parlay. The price is for what is a much higher than 50% likely outcome, I think, around even money is just too big.
RJ, what's your best play?
Same match, Brighton, Marseille over 3, minus 134. I probably wouldn't wager any lower than minus 140. I think I'm already close to the cutoff as it is, but just love the goals there.
And Steve?
It's got to be Aris against Sparta Prague for me, over 3 goals. I think that's going to be a really good game.
And just finally, on the Europa League and the Conference League, I mean, we talked about it right at the start of the group stages when it came to outrights. And I know that, you know, Champions League teams drop down. It is difficult. Leverkusen has been put up by Will as a player. I mean, is this, Will, a competition that you will look at again from a futures point of view once we know for sure which teams are involved and you can understand why bettors are a little bit lukewarm when it comes to futures, unless there's a standout price like there was for Leverkusen?
Yeah, 100%. It's more just to do with the mechanics of the margin that the kind of market's got. Like before the Champions League teams drop down, I think there's too much margin put in by the bookmakers. And you might think you've identified a team at a big price like Leverkusen, but that's really a one-off. It's, you know, normally there's not going to be that much value. And then also you've got the transparency after the Champions League teams have dropped down. You know exactly who you're dealing with. You can start looking at your ratings and weigh them up versus the market. And then you can go to your next stage in your analysis and try and conceptualize who's likely to prioritize the competition, etc. So yeah, much more information to work with once the draw is completely set.
And we do get some unusual teams getting through to the knockout stages, RJ. I mean, is this more in your wheelhouse when you know exactly the teams that are coming in and if you're across some of the lesser-known European leagues, is it something that you might focus on with a bit more sort of energy going into those knockout games, the playoff round in February?
Yeah, it certainly helps having the exposure to some of these unique leagues and teams that make this competition. I think, like Will said, though, it has a lot to do with prioritization, right? You have to look at if teams drop from a Champions League down to Europa, how are they faring domestically? Are they going to put more weight or focus on, again, getting up to that Champions League spot? Are they in a good standing domestically? You got to look at rotation because if they are going to prioritize domestic play, you'll probably see a little bit more rotation in these competitions, arguably, maybe a little bit. So that could have a long-standing effect on how you look at futures.
Yeah, I always think that there are certain teams from certain leagues that just are not interested. Like Italian teams don't seem to prioritize Europa League, Steve, we've seen in the past. But then suddenly a semi-finalist, a finalist, and you know that they're going to play the full-strength team. Have you had any anti-post plays in any of their markets yet? Are there teams that you've earmarked potentially that you might get involved with come Feb?
Well, I'm looking to see what price Sevilla are going to be for the Europa League when they inevitably drop down. but I'll tell you one thing, in the Conference League, I'm just really struggling to see beyond Aston Villa at this point in time. I think they look really strong. Plus 300, you know, we know Unai Emery loves to do well in European competitions, and it'd be great for them to get a trophy, wouldn't it, in that. So I don't really see anyone dropping down that's going to be too much of a big challenge either from the Europa League, perhaps. So Villa, for me, I think Will's play on Leverkusen for the Europa League as well is a tremendous one pre-season, and they're going to go deep.
That wraps up Betting Weekly Extra Time Europa League edition and Conference League edition for that matter. Many thanks to Steve, Will and to RJ. And of course, that wraps up the group stage previews for the 23-24 campaign. Knockout stages, of course, come around in February of next year. We'll be across the Europa League, the Conference League and, of course, the Champions League when we get those staggered rounds for the major competition and the playoff fixtures, of course, for the Europa League and the Conference League. So watch out for that in the new year. Plenty more content, of course, from the Betting Weekly team on our YouTube channel across all the domestic leagues and, of course, the Premier League as well. For now, though, it is goodbye. Many thanks to everyone, and we'll see you in the new year for more Champions League, Europa League and Conference League podcasts and shows.